Good morning, everyone. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a call from Margaret. I was at the office. I got a call from Margaret. She said, "What am I going to do?" So, what's happened? She said, "Well, I got this call." Well, what was it? She said, "This guy calls me up and said that I won second place in a jackpot." I said, "Really? So, what are you supposed to do?" Well, he says, I'm not supposed to tell anybody. He's going to be out yet this afternoon. We have to get this done this afternoon. Yet this afternoon, actually, the FBI is coming with deliver because it's a $2.9 million jackpot. I said, "What's it cost me?" And I think it was we needed for processing fees only to send some $600, $800 to Western Union, and then we would get this jackpot. Well, obviously, nobody ever showed up. But what occurred over the next few days was interesting because we had no less than 30 phone calls, all from people with a Slavic accent, all times of night and day, middle of night, call and said, "Hi, you've won. You've won $2.9, varied $2.95, and the amount we had to pay varied from $3.95 to $8.95 or something to get this. We couldn't tell anybody, all of them, and so forth." And I'm getting more and more aggravated. Margaret really confused the guy when she called because she said, "No, I'm not interested. I don't want any of your filthy lucre." And he had no idea what filthy lucre meant. The guy is somewhere hunting for a dictionary in English to figure out what filthy lucre means, but he is. The last one I got, I said, "I've heard this story before. Let me tell you what you do. Number one, when you call me, ask who I am first. Don't call me and tell me I won $5 million. Don't even ask if you're talking to the right guy. Okay, and then here's what you do." So I proceeded to tell him his story. Here's what you do. And I did it back to him. And he said, "Oh." I said, "So don't call me anymore, okay? Show up my door with the cash or don't call me, okay? That's it." But, you will have to admit, if someone gave you a call and it came over the phone and they said, "You have won $2.9 million at second place, $2.9 million, it does grab your attention. It does grab your attention because occasionally it does happen. There's a story in the Bible of a man who got a jackpot call, and we're going to talk a little bit about that call, that story this morning. The story we're going to read eventually here when I get around to it is in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the third chapter. And this is a story of Solomon. Because Solomon did receive a jackpot call. Solomon, you remember, was the son of Bathsheba, the woman who David had acquired as a wife by murdering her husband. And Solomon and Bathsheba both had been promised that Solomon would be king when David was dead and gone. And this was not an easy route because early in this process, there was an uprising. Adonijah had an uprising. He was an older half-brother of Solomon. And he was older. He'd been around longer. The people all liked him. They thought maybe he'd make a good king. So he started kind of congregating people about him and so forth. And Solomon had to put that uprising down and be made king himself, even before David was dead. Solomon had to execute his chief competitor, Adonijah, to preserve the kingdom. He had to clean out the priests who had opposed him. He got rid of them and sent them back to the farm and appointed new priests. He cleaned out the old guard, Joab. David recommended that he clean out the old guard because Joab had a habit of doing what Joab wanted to do instead of what the king wanted to do. And he got rid of David's old enemies in the court. And if you read the first couple of chapters there in 1 Kings, you do not want a guy by the name of Benaiah showing up at your doorstep. Because over and over and over again, Benaiah shows up, someone dies. He is the chief executioner of Solomon. And Solomon had married the princess of Egypt in order to consolidate power and for whatever reasons he might think of. And the reason I tell you that is because sometimes we think of Solomon receiving this jackpot call that we're going to read about here in a minute, that he was a very young man. And he was not. He'd already endured an attempted takeover of his kingdom. He'd already executed his enemies. He'd already become married to the princess of Egypt. He was not a young man. So we're going to read in 1 Kings 3 and 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that idol, altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God says, "You are a winner." You're a winner. This is a jackpot call, Solomon. He said by dream, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing, and God said to him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall many arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Jackpot. You're a winner. How many people get a call from God who can give all things saying, "Hi, I like you. I want to give you whatever you want. I'm going to give you whatever you want." So what would you do if God called you? Be a long distance call, right? If God called you and said, "I like you. I'll give you whatever you want." Pretty unlimited, right? Pretty unlimited. What would you pick? What would you pick? Well, we can go down the list. Most days I'd like to be smarter. That'd be good, to be smarter, so we could get ahead. We could know what to do those times we don't know what to do now. We wouldn't doubt ourselves about that, so we wouldn't feel lost part of the time. Could ask for smarts. Nothing wrong with that. God likes people who use their brains. That's what he gave them to us for. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe I should ask for fame. Some recognition. We all like recognition. We all like some recognition. We all crave it in some way or another. And there's really nothing wrong with recognition. Paul gave recognition to a lot of people when he was writing in his letters. Remember this person, remember that person, praise this person, accept this person. Recognition all over the place. Maybe I should ask for some fame. $2.9 million would be fun. Maybe I should ask for riches. Maybe I should ask for riches like God calls. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? When you sit down to pay your bills, in fact, you wouldn't sit down to pay your bills. You'd hire somebody to pay them for you. So you never had to look at them. Just say, "Pay the bills." You don't ask what your balance is. Don't ask what the bills are. You say, "Pay the bills." That'd be kind of nice. Wouldn't worry about making a wrong decision and losing things. Nothing wrong with riches, is there? God made a lot of his people that he liked the most very, very rich. Solomon, King David, Job. A lot of his people that he really, really liked, he made very rich. Abraham. Well, if God called, maybe I'll ask for help. That's always a concern. Health, either physical or emotional or mental health. No one likes to be sick. I get told all the time, I really don't like to see you. Well, that's fine. I don't like to see you either. Pay and leave. No. No one likes to be sick, usually. There are a few weird things that some people will kind of like to be sick once in a while. But in general, we don't like to be sick. We want to feel good. We want to feel energized. We want to feel happy. Maybe I'll ask for help. What if God called and your jackpot had come in? Well, if I asked for smarts, if I asked to be just quite a bit smarter than I already am, which wouldn't take a whole lot some days, I might be in trouble because smarts might not be enough. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Maybe I better not ask for smarts. Smarts might not get me there all by itself. It might not be enough. Maybe I'll ask for recognition, fame. Oh, that's got problems too. You know, in Acts, the 8th chapter, man was used to being famous. There was a certain man called Simon, which aforetime in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So far, it's all about him and all what he thinks. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man's a great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Pretty recognized man. When he walked down the street, everybody knew who he was. He was famous and lost. And famous and lost. Maybe I better not ask for fame. Maybe we should, if God calls us with a jackpot call, we should ask for riches. There's nothing wrong with riches. Maybe we should ask for riches. But riches can get in the road. And we're all rich. I have several patients who travel across the world to various places with various organizations to help people who are poor, disadvantaged countries, etc. And I've talked to them, and I can tell you that any one of you people's sheds in your backyard that's falling down would be a mansion in a lot of the world. What you threw away for leftovers last night could feed a family for a week in parts of the world. So we're all rich. We're all rich. So, what about if I ask for riches when God calls? Well, riches do get in the road. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus, he said, "I've done this and this and this and this and this." Jesus said, "That's really good. That's, in fact, Jesus, I think, was maybe a little less than appreciative. He didn't really brag him up. If I'd have been able to show up at that time and say all those things, I'd expected Jesus said, "Good man, whap me on the back, hold me up front, and tell everybody to be like him." But he said, "No, you got one thing that you need to do. You need to go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me." And he went away sorrowful because he had great riches or because he loved great riches. What do you think it was? Because he loved great riches. Riches might not be the thing they asked for. Maybe if God calls and says, you're the winner. You're the winner. I like you. And I'm going to give you whatever your little heart desires. Maybe I should ask for health. Maybe I should ask for emotional happiness and physical health. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said unto him, rise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Maybe health isn't the thing to ask for. 9 out of 10 people who got it didn't return to glorify God. Maybe health isn't the thing to ask for. Maybe health is the last thing I need. Maybe I need to be sick. Maybe I have something to learn from being sick. Maybe health is the worst thing for me. Because when I have it, I do just what the 9 did. Just what the 9 did. I forget about where it came from or what it's for. I always like the story in the 9th chapter of John when they were really, really after Jesus about healing this blind man. This blind man. And they even brought in the blind man because Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath day. They brought him in and they thought he'd been blind because his parents had sinned or he had sinned or somebody had sinned, obviously, because people just weren't blind. Somebody had sinned, obviously, so they brought him in, and they went through this long argument, and this man who had had no recognition before in this whole village, people walked around him. They thought he was a sinner. He must have been a horrible sinner, or his parents a horrible sinner for him to be born blind. Must have been something really bad. Nothing to do with him. Stood up and said this, and they all heard it. And he'd never had the chance to say this. He'd never been blind, okay? Whether he, Jesus, be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Now whip that argument. But what I want you to understand is this man had never been born blind. He would have never been able to say that, and he would have never been able to testify about Jesus. So when God calls with my jackpot call, maybe I should be a little careful about asking for health. It might not be what I need. In fact, it might be the worst thing for me. I want to go back to 1 Kings for just a minute. First Kings, God makes his jackpot call to Solomon. And I want to look again at what Solomon answered and what God said. Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I knew not how to go out or come in. Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? That speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, that's power, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according, and he goes on to say, I gave you all of them. And we hold Solomon in high esteem because he asked for wisdom. Do not hold Solomon in high esteem because he asked for wisdom. Hold Solomon in high esteem for why he asked for wisdom. Wisdom wasn't enough. We already talked about wisdom. Knowledge can get you in trouble. But why did he ask for it? So he could be known as the smartest man to ever live. So we still use Solomon. Smartest Solomon. Why is it Solomon? No. So I can judge your God's people. The why. The why. Was God impressed with what Solomon asked for? Or was God impressed with why Solomon asked for what Solomon asked for? And if you look at verse 9 and 11, I think God was impressed with why Solomon asked for what Solomon asked for. To serve. Not for himself, but to serve God. He wanted to serve God because God had been good to his father, and God had been good to him. He already had fame. He was the king of Israel. Do you think when he walked down the street, nobody knew who he was? He already had fame. He already had riches. Before the story ever occurs, in 1 Kings, the second chapter, in verse 12, it says, Solomon sat upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. He already had riches. He already had health and happiness. He's married to the princess. His enemies are gone. His own people are in the positions of power. He already had it. He was on top already. But in relation to the job Solomon saw they had to do, he calls himself a child. Not just a child. A child that was so underdeveloped, he didn't know when to go out or come in. That's how he felt. This great man, and he was great already. Great, great, great man. Sitting in this position, felt like he didn't know how to go out or come in. And so he asked God for wisdom to serve. Not just wisdom so Solomon could be known as the wisest man that ever lived. Wisdom to serve. John, the 13th chapter. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded it himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, you always wonder why he's the one saying that. Why wasn't Jesus the one saying, do I have to wash your feet? I would have been the other way around on that one, but that's not... Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save his feet, needeth not save to wash. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I've done to you? Do you understand what just happened? Ye call me master and lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Life with Jesus is about service. It's about service. Service based on gratitude. The same as Solomon based his request for wisdom, so he could serve God based on gratitude for what God had already done for David and already done for him. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, it talks about we are to serve one another as servants of God. James 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Really. Now think about what that says. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. There are some pretty dumb people walking around, as we heard about on eBay today, that didn't ask. He only gives if we ask. And so we have to ask so we can serve. And we'll get the other blessings just like Solomon. Just like Solomon. Back in 1 Kings, the third chapter again. Great as Solomon was before, look at what he was later. The latter part of this chapter is a story of the two ladies, using the word somewhat loosely, who had children the same night, and one of them laid on her child and killed it. And so she stole the other one, and Solomon had to decide and says, well, let's just get a sword and cut it in two. They give them both half. That seems fair. And the real mother, because she actually loved the child, said, no, let her have it. He said, that's the mom, give it to her. And everybody went, oh, my goodness. That man is smart. He is smart. Look at that. And his wisdom endured. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. He might have been smart before, but when he was smart to serve, God really made him smart. They saw the wisdom of God. God said, not only because you've asked for this, I'll not only give you smarts, wisdom, but I'll give you all the rest too. So did he? In 1 Kings, the fourth chapter, verses 30 and 31. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. Everybody knew about him now, not just Israel. Everybody knew him. They're all talking about Solomon. Did he have riches? Well, I'd tell you if I could read my note here. Let's see. First Kings, the 10th chapter. Queen of Sheba comes to see. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words. It was too much. I didn't believe it. Nobody could be that good. Till I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I'd heard. Verse 14. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. 20 years ago, that was $3.83 billion with a B, dollars with the gold in a year. Prosperity beyond anyone's imagination. And health, 1 Kings 10 and 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and they hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. But all of it was to serve God. Every one of them was to serve God. And this same man, at the end of his writings in Ecclesiastes, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what would you ask for if God called? I like you. I'll give you whatever you want. Oh, you missed it. You must have not been home. Your phone must not be working. He already made the call. He already made the call, and you're already a winner. Because when we get to heaven, we will have knowledge that will be unbelievable. We'll know things we wondered about before, and now we'll know. When we get to heaven, we'll have fame that's unrecognizable anywhere else, because we will be brothers with the Son of God. Brothers with the Son of God. When we get to heaven, we'll have riches that are unbelievable, so much that God said, you can take your $3.63 billion worth of gold. It's so plentiful up here, we're so rich up here, we pave our streets with the stuff. And you will have health that's unsurpassed. Unsurpassed. No pain, no tears. You're a winner. You already won. You already won. God made the call. If you will answer it and send back your little, what's the one you always talking about? The magazine one? Publisher's Club. If you'll just send it in, if you'll just do the little bit you got to do, you already won. The prize is already there. So go ahead and ask for more knowledge. Because God will give you some here, but he'll give you a whole bunch there. Go ahead and ask for riches. God will give you some here, but he'll give you a whole bunch more there. Ask for fame. God may give you some recognition here or he may not, but he'll give you a whole bunch there. And ask for health, man, he may give you some or not give you some, whichever one's better for you here. But up there, you'll have it. You'll have it. Man. You know, when Margaret got that call and she called me and said, what do I do? I pretty much knew this was a scam. But I told her to wait till 1 o'clock to come in just in case they showed up. Just in case. Maybe it wasn't. What would you do if someone called you up? Well, you probably wouldn't believe it either. Well, you believe it when God calls you up. God called you. He said, I've got a deal for you. I like you. I like you. In fact, I love you so much, I gave my son so that I could give you the big jackpot. The big jackpot. With fame, fortune, knowledge, and health all rolled into one. You are a winner. Take the call. Do the little bit that God requires you to do to get your jackpot. It's over there. It's waiting on you. All you got to do is pick it up. Do the little bit you got to do to get your jackpot. Wouldn't it be a shame to miss? That's why I told Mark to stay to 1 o'clock. How would you feel if it was really true and you didn't stay home? How would you feel when you get to heaven and it's really true and you didn't send in your entry? You didn't do the little bit you needed to do to collect it. This morning we're going to give you the opportunity to initiate that, to be baptized into his body, have your sins forgiven, and be in a position to collect that jackpot that's waiting for all of us as we stand and sing.